Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, here we go, ready?
Really need a haircut, I think.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
you sort of knew. I think it looks good. Mate, you can't cut more of that off.
You haven't got many.
I was going to shave it. No, I was just,
yeah. Don't shave it, boy.
No, I was going to get a haircut today, but maybe I'll just shave it all off.
Okay, do that.
Yeah.
Are you telling Danny and I?
Yeah, I was just thinking out loud. I don't
know. Go the plug route. Would you plug?
No,
yeah.
No, I've got dignity.
I wouldn't get the plug route either. Danny, I got a question for you before we kick things off. Why are you called Badger?
No.
can you not say? I just got a message from our good buddy, Hugo Monnier, who sent me a message saying, ask Danny why he's called Badger. You can't say it?
What is it? What is it?
He can't say. Hold on, I'm just going to give Hugo a quick call. Here we go.
FaceTime.
Definitely.
Okay, let's FaceTime. Here we go. We're going to FaceTime Hugo Monnier. Here we go. Hold on 1 second.
What time is it in Japan?
I mean, what's he doing anyway?
Here we go.
Yay! Quietly, boy. Well, mate, we're obviously doing a podcast. What do you think? We're here, buddy.
Look at intensive.
The headphones, all the microphones, everything.
Hey, Hugo. So, Danny won't explain why he's called Badger.
Hugs, mate. I've got so much on this boy, so if he says anything.
I'm well placed to explain it, but I'm just not sure if I can.
Oh, it's so intriguing.
Hey, we're FaceTiming you all the way from Japan at the moment. Okay, Hugo.
He knows he's in Japan.
Hey, listen. Yeah, hey, but the listeners might not. Hugo, if you could say the three things to describe Danny, how would you describe him in three words?
Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Would be number one. A good person.
Yeah,
that's
that.
Three words.
That's yeah, four. Good person. No, but you're three things. Good
now.
Person, delicious. One more. Oh, I love
honest.
That.
Family man.
Family man. He's a family man. He's just a family man.
Yeah, family, friends, charity.
And who was a better rugby player, you or him?
Danny. Danny was one of the most naturally talented players I ever played with.
Oh, God, we're all going to make out. What is this?
In your dreams.
This is unbelievable.
Oh,
is this
you
don't have to do it. Hey, you go. We miss you, buddy. Bye-bye.
See you, brother.
Bye. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We've got Danny Kerr with us, and that was just Hugo Monnier on FaceTime. Are you guys best buds, you and Hugo?
Yeah. When I moved down to London, like I said, when I was 19, he kind of took me under his wing. He was Mr. London.
Or so he thought. Yeah. He went, hey, Danny, I'm Mr. London.
Yeah, he actually tarnished me a lot. I was a nice lad before I came.
Really? Yeah, no. And then he took you on his wing.
He took me into the ring, showed me the lights, showed me the big bright lights of London, and yeah, I've never looked back.
It's interesting, right? Because that rugby culture, I think football, everything has. Do you have what I like to call like initiations when you go into like your, so when you're playing for Harlequins or Leeds or going to England, what initiations are there?
So it's normally the classic singer song. You make your first cap, you sing a song. So
in front of everyone?
In front of, yeah, it's normally on the team bus somewhere, like either sacred, they call it sacred, either in a change room after a game or on the team bus on the way back.
So those are the sacred places?
Yeah, you kind of the places that obviously TV cameras and everything gets to see so much now. They get so much access to the players and the teams. But one thing they probably don't see, you see a bit of the change rooms now. They've got these change room cameras in there. But, you know, on a team bus, the moments after a game where you're all having a few beers and singing some songs, like that's the kind of sacred places they say that just you've made memories with those lads that are in the room. They should stay in the room, which they often don't.
Wait, they've got cameras in the changing rooms?
They put cameras in the changing rooms now,
the
so they can see you changing.
Yeah, because you know, but before the game...
They like to see the coaches.
They like to see everything. Because people now want more and more and more, right? They want to see everything. I want more.
Yes. In the bathrooms.
Yeah, I want to see it. I just want to see it all. Show it to
the
me.
Shower's gone.
So what song did you have to pick?
So I did... After I played in...
It's Raining Men.
I do that well. I did Lean On Me. Which is a kind of my classic karaoke song, and I did it after the game. And you get a beauty.
Did you take it seriously? Oh, everyone stop talking. You know, I'm trying to sing.
I love. So I'm not prepared, and then just yeah. I don't mind a sing song. So I did Lean On Me, and you get hammered from the back. So like all the older boys will be throwing shit at you, abusing you. And if you actually get through that and hold the tune, you're kind of accepted. But I remember that there was getting bananas thrown at me, beers, all sorts.
Lads!
And then the week later, when I was starting for the game, making my debut, I was wearing the same tracksuit top and we were just facing the Haka, and I looked down and I had all this banana on me. And it kind of lightened the mood for me. I wasn't as scared as the Haka.
So when they're doing the Haka, you're not like, well, what, maybe we should do something back to them? Do you not feel, or is it a bit just like...
What would you do back? What do you mean?
Morris
stuff. What do you think you'd do back to them?
I know, but I was always the thing, like, God, what would it feel like to have someone doing the Haka? You'd feel like you should do something back.
But what could the English...
Then what can you do?
What could you do?
You can't. The biggest thing about they say in rugby sport
Morris
is that
Morris starts.
Morris starts back to them. That would be amazing if you started Morris dancing back. It's interesting about Danny, because you know, do you think that gives the All Blacks the unfair advantage at the beginning of a game?
I think it's one of them. It's their culture. It's tradition. It's kind of their history, and they're like laying down the challenge. So I think the first time you experience it, it's fairly daunting, especially as a younger bloke, but. You kind of, I think it kind of also can pump you up as a team, give you a bit of motivation that, you know, they're doing this dance, right, let's get into them sort of thing at the start.
But they care too much, actually. Yeah.
The problem is...
Yeah, look at them losers. Yeah. What are you
sticking
doing?
Sticking their tongues out.
So lame. Fucking, come on.
But you say all these things, you're like, right, as soon as they've done the Haka, let's fucking get stuck into them. And then you're 20 points down after 5 minutes every game.
Man,
you
know, they're just so quick. They're just, like, I mean...
Relentless. They are relentless, aren't they?
But they are. It's like Sonny Bill Williams. I mean, he can offload from anywhere. How does he do that?
He's a freak. He can do everything in the game. It's actually not fair people like him get to play against people like me, because I can't tackle. You can't tackle him.
Is he that big?
He's huge.
Is he really
<He's> huge?
Have you ever tried
a few times?
Yeah. So yeah, the my best ever claim to fame, I think, is I tackled Jonah Lomu once.
Did you?
Yeah, I was playing for Leeds. He was playing for Cardiff, and he broke through the line. I was 17, 65 kilos, dripping wet, like nothing about me when I was young. They played me. I was on the bench of this game. Came on. Jonah Lomu broke through the line. Looked at me and genuinely laughed. And he's running straight at me, and I was like, oh my God, like,
what are you thinking this way? What do you think?
I was bricking it, genuinely bricking it, and I thought, right, one chance I'm going to get to tackle Jonah Lomu. I've got to try. I can't run out of the way. I can't run and hide behind my mum. So, family man,
so, yeah.
So I went as low as I possibly could. Kind of slid down, grabbed hold of an ankle. He carried me for about 10 metres, looked down again, smiled at me, and jumped down onto the floor. Really? And I was like, there it is.
There it is. I've done it.
Is there footage of this?
I have a picture on my Facebook. Yeah.
Really? Oh, mate, that's epic.
Yeah. So that was obviously, he is rugby. You know, when I was growing up, he changed the game of rugby completely. He is the biggest name ever to play rugby. It's obviously so sad that he's not around.
Yeah, dude, so sad that that happened. It's so weird how things like that can happen to
him. Yeah, he struggled with some pretty bad illnesses and unfortunately lost his fight. But yeah, he's a hero to everyone and always will be.
A legend.
Yeah.
He is
a legend.
When I was younger, he was a legend because he was what? He was like 19 stone, around the 100 meters and 10'5". I mean, he was just, 6 foot five, whatever he was.
And no one had ever seen anything like him. That's the thing. They'd seen quick players, they'd seen nippy players, they'd seen big players, but they hadn't seen big players who can run over the top of you and also run around you. He was a freak.
So for you, Dan, if you have to go to back into your like archive in your mind and say to yourself, what is your best moment? What is the moment you go? And it can be a completely self-involved. It can be anything. Your best moment, but also your worst moment that you've experienced in your whole career. What would that be?
Best moment, I think making my debut in New Zealand was amazing. But we won the league with Harlequins in 2012. A long time ago now since we've had a trophy. But it was because I'd been with these lads since I was like 19.
That camaraderie together, man. Like, Jesus.
We were all best mates. We kind of all grew up together, went through like living in London, going out together.
Mr. London, Hugo Monier was there.
Mr. Monier was leading the charge. We kind of all grew up together. And there was a kind of group of about 9 or 10 of us young lads who kind of all came into the team at once. They also signed Nick Evans, like an amazing fly half. He was the glue, but us young sort of lads, a lot of them through the Queen's Academy, so they were all homegrown. I'd come from Leeds, but we grew up together. We played, we'd train every day with each other. We'd go out every night for meals, go out for drinks, and we was best mates doing it. So then when we won the league, it's just kind of that was the best feeling for me in my career, lifting that trophy, seeing Chris Robshaw lift the trophy, because you kind of felt really a part of it.
Sometimes
when you play for England, it's
a bit alienated. You're not quite.
You shop and change all the time, but these lads are the guys you spend most of your life with. I see them more than I see my family, So
there he is, family man.
But I am a family man. So I try as much as I can to be with the family. But, you've grown up with them, you've gone through so many experiences with them, good and bad, and then when you finally get that trophy in your hands, it was amazing.
Vindication.
Yeah.
And what's the worst moment?
Oh, there's been a few. That Wales.
Man, that was bad for me.
Checking my phone after.
Seeing a tweet from me, that prick.
Did you know who Jamie was before he tweeted?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because I think there was a girl involved.
Yeah. So Lucy Watson dated one of your buddies,
Jordan. Yeah, he was there on the night.
Who I met Jordan the other day. Who one of the nicest guys.
Yeah.
He was actually, I don't think he would mind, he was one of the guys who, he got injured. And unfortunately, he didn't quite go what he planned for him.
His body was a mess. And another one where he just kept, because he's the type of guy he is, he just kept playing. His hip was destroyed.
He just played through it?
Kept having injections playing because he wanted to play with the team, play with the boys.
Oh, man, it just happens.
When he was 26, 27, had to retire, Only got 2 England caps, should have had 50-odd. But he's now coaching in the school. School, doing really well.
But it's interesting, right? This is what I want to know more, because if you get, and I know, Danny, it's boring for you because you probably have to get asked these questions all the time, but just because we love it, I know all the listeners who love you would love it. When you're around the scrum, your scrum half, what kind of chat is going on? Because I would be a fucking little wanker. I would be the most annoying little thing, like just da 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 to them the whole night. Do you talk or do you just kind of keep it?
I think I used to talk. I used to be.
I bet you did. I bet you used to be.
I used to be a bit chopsy. I think when you're kind of trying to make your way in there, trying to be respected by other teams, you do give it out a little bit. And I was young and chopsy and probably a bit arrogant. I think you kind of have to be sometimes on a rugby field. You have to be confident. You have to believe in yourself. And some lads do give chat. I remember Justin Marshall, obviously New Zealand
scrum half. Oh my God.
He signed for Leeds, so I was kind of an understudy to him. So I'd watch him play and learn from him. But his chat was just brilliant. People would be giving him shit. Oh, Marshall, you're shit. You passed it. And he'd go, turn around, mate. And they go, what do you mean? He goes, turn around, because I don't have a fucking clue what your name is. And he said, but you obviously don't mind. And things like that, you know. So I have used that one before.
Oh, my God, man. It's just, I tell you what's so amazing. But the thing is, what is so strange about you, Danny? Danny, you're 31 years old, right?
32 now.
You're 32. Mm. So, yeah, we're 30, turning 31. But you have lived a life already, which is so bizarre. People forget that, you know, you retire from rugby or whatever age, but you know, you sort of, the oldest people playing rugby are like 36, 37, something like that. Yeah. So, you know, 36, 37 is kind of this sort of age where people sort of quit. But that
who's
is
the oldest?
The oldest at Harlequins, we've got probably 35.
The oldest ever play for England.
I think
Martin Johnson.
No, Jason Leonard.
Jason Leonard was 37. I think Rory Best, the Ireland captain, now is 37 at a World Cup.
Martin Johnson like 38 or something?
He might have been. Yeah. So some guys do play for longer. I think the game is changing a bit more now, and I don't think you'll see as many people lasting that long because of how physical it is. But I've been very lucky with injuries. I know I'm injured at the moment, but I haven't had any sort of career-changing ones.
Do you know what you should do, Danny? You should go into like commentating. You'd be class at that. You'd be so good at that.
So I do a BBC podcast.
Yeah. No, you do.
Called the Rugby Union Weekly, and we'd love to have you guys on.
Oh, mate! Big shout out. Go, all of you listeners, go and check out
during the World Cup.
What's the podcast called?
Rugby Union Weekly.
Rugby Union Weekly. Go and check it out now. Not right now because you're listening to this one, but you know, later.
After this.
After this.
Just download them both.
Just download them both. But Danny, that's what you should do, man, because that would be great. Because also, this is what I want to know. England are in the World Cup at the moment, right? They're out in Japan. They're doing pretty well. We got 10 points. We got Argentina, as we're talking this, got Argentina on the weekend. What are our chances?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I generally think England could go all the way. I think they could bring home the trophy. I think the problem for them is they're probably going to face New Zealand in the semi-final. And I do think whoever wins that game will win the World Cup.
Shit, are we facing them in the semi-final?
Yeah, we will. I think we'll win these next two games. We'll play
Australia
in the quarters. I think we'll beat them. But New Zealand are on our side of the group, so we can't miss them before the final.
Mate, they're so good.
They are good. They are good.
They just offload it every time.
As you say, in a World Cup, and they have shown in the past few years that you can beat them. They're not unbeatable anymore. So on a one-off game, I think the boys 100% can beat them. I just think if they're on top form, which they're looking all right at the moment, if you catch them on a good day, it's going to be very hard to stop. But one-off game, England could do it, and England get to the final, probably play South Africa or Wales, maybe, or Ireland.
What is the secret? Why is that? Why is New Zealand? What is their secret?
I think it's just they're born. They're born with it. But then they're born and they put a rugby ball.
They just fuck, you have it and they just go. Everything is so fast.
It is. But they live and breathe it. So they don't really have football over. They do a bit. But like over here, it's football, it's cricket, it's rugby, probably second and third. Over there, it's rugby. Like that's that's the sport. So you grow up, you play rugby union, you play rugby league. And it's in their DNA. It's in their... is in their life from day one. They all want to grow up and be an All Black. Over here in England, I want to play
for Sheffield Wednesday.
For Liverpool, do you know what I mean?
Oh, I thought you want to play for Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, I would like to play for Sheffield Wednesday. But my dream would
I want
to
grow up and
play
for Sheffield Wednesday.
was that a northern accent?
Danny, what do you want to be? I want to play for Sheffield Wednesday.
That's
quite good. That's quite good, wasn't it? So you think if we get past, if we face them in the semi-final, we could actually do this? We could get to the final? We could go all the way?
Yeah, I generally think we can. I think it's the most open World Cup there's ever been. In that, I think five or six teams could generally win this one. First tournament over in Asia, which is amazing.
Who's the wild card, do you think?
Well, Japan.
Japan. Hey, Japan, freaking, yeah.
They're
what
tough.
Are the odds? What are the odds on Japan?
Oh, you might have a...
Yeah, why are you... He's going to bet. You're not going to win it. I'm going to put $21,000 on Japan to win. Hey. Look at him thinking about it.
I like a long shot.
Danny, can I ask you another controversial question? Cipriani.
Yep.
I know he's a buddy of yours. Well, I think he's. I'm assuming he's a buddy of yours. Yeah. Why, you know, he won Premiership Player of the Season. Why is he not? I sound like I'm like putting you in an interview. It's not meant to be this way. But I'm just interested. Why is he not in the squad?
I think the problem is in front of him. You've got Owen Farrell, who's the captain, and you've got George Ford, who's 60 odd caps. Those two have been such good servants for England over the past few years. It's hard to.
You know, is that really what it is?
It's hard to have a case where you say he deserves to be in more than them. He couldn't have done more last year. Player of the year voted by his peers and by the media. Like he had an unbelievable season.
So why wouldn't you put that in the squad? If you were managing,
if I was
it,
him, I'd have taken him, and I would have taken. I wouldn't have taken one of the back threes. So
yeah.
I think they kind of maybe went an extra one of there. But the problem is with Danny, he creates so much media attention, and every single question to Eddie is, "Oh, why is Danny not in the team? Why is Danny Cipriani not in the team? He should be playing." And Eddie won't have that because he doesn't want anything to detract from the team. So,
and it's almost like they're trying to make his decisions for him.
Yeah, and Eddie won't do what the media are telling him to do. So the more people keep shouting about Danny Cipriani being in that squad, he's more likely to not be in it. So it's kind of not his own fault, but he's kind of suffering from his own hype that people think he's so good. They keep badgering him that he should be in the team, I think it's kind of having the different effect that it really wants. So
that must be so annoying.
It must be tough for him because he played so well. But he's even come out and said, "I understand. I've got two very good players in my position."
Yeah, you have to say that. Can't just go, "What the fuck?" I would say that. I'd be like, "What the fuck?"
But that's the thing. We can't. You see, in NFL, they can just say what they want.
There's another one, yeah.
Like in rugby, we just can't. You've just got to keep your head down and say, "Oh yeah, you're really looking forward to hope the boys do really well." And
it reflects badly.
Speaking of NFL, though, one of your that who was it who went
Christian
over?
Wade,
Christian Wade went over to NFL. He played for the Bills, scored an unbelievable touchdown, but then got dropped.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna make it. And then he's now been dropped, and he's just in Buffalo.
Is he still there?
Oh, I don't know. I'm kidding. Well, under me, his touchdown was unbelievable.
Unreal. I think there's some rule where if they do these overseas talent programs and you can't get picked in the first squad, apparently. That's what he keeps telling him. Anyway, it's a bit like me.
I'm just a family man. Family comes first. Yeah, Danny's like, family comes first. This is what it is.
He's on the practice squad. I think he's earning good money still over there. And it's a hell of a to take the risk of. I think we talk about you have to have a second career when you play rugby because we don't earn enough money to stop when you finish. You have to find a job straight away. Mm. So.
That's a scary part of it.
It is scary, and that's definitely something where when I speak to the young lads, the academy boys now who come into the club, into the environment, is do something on the outside because I wish I had. You know, I've seen so many mates have to retire early from injuries or fall out of form, don't get a job anymore, and you literally go from earning really good money to nothing, it can be tough. And that then leads on to the problems we talked about before, the anxiety, the depression. So many boys have suffered with that. So I'm very much an advocate of people doing things on the outside to help, because it doesn't last for long, the sport.
What do you think, Dave? What do you think the sport has taught? What do you think you've learned? You know, and you're still too young, 32 years old. It's so young. But what do you think it's taught you? What do you think you've learned, like, mostly about yourself and about life, in a sense?
Yeah, I think a bit of resilience, I think, probably, like we talked about earlier. You do have a lot of negative things happen to you, a lot of knockbacks, and you have to find a way to just get back on track and get back on the horse and go again, because it won't wait for you. You know what I mean? It's very cutthroat. As soon as there's someone younger, fitter, get him in on less money, you know.
It's been like Made in Chelsea, isn't it?
Yeah. Fuck, I'm still here. God. Yeah. Gotta start thinking about what else to do.
you're out the door. So it's one of those, you have to be on your toes. Look, I'm so lucky to have done what I love doing for the amount of time I've done it. I've hopefully got a few more years left. But I've always been interested in the media side of things, so I've been doing a lot of that over the past few years, because that's something that I'd love to go into post.
Mate, you'd be perfect for that, mate. Honestly, I'm not just saying that to.
Well, it sounds like you're already doing it.
Yeah, we do a bit with the podcast. Yeah, we do a bit with ITV for World Cup and BBC with the radio stuff. So,
but you're also doing that, and you're still playing at the moment. That's a pretty good thing, right?
Yeah, the timing of this injury has actually worked out quite well.
James. Yes,
yeah. There you go, man.
Yeah,
there
so you go. Everything happens for a reason. You know?
Everything happens for a reason, mate. Right, we got to that moment, Francis, where you have to tell us the answer to the question of the week.
Well, this doesn't happen very often, but you are actually both right.
What do you mean?
England-Scotland.
Oh, that's it, man.
First international rugby match was between England-Scotland.
Yeah, well, I think that wasn't that hard. Mm-hmm. I think that.
No, I know, but, like, you know, I guess you guys might not have got it, so it was, I don't think many of our listeners knew that.
I don't think they did. Hey, Danny, also, I got to ask you a quick question, because Hugo sent me another message.
There we go.
Do you have any shit tattoos?
Yeah. as do you.
Yeah, as do I. As do I. What tattoos do you have? Any ones that you haven't told anyone about?
I still don't think my mum knows about one of them on my ass.
Yeah. Really?
What does does Hugo have one of those as well?
Hugo does have one of those. Yeah. Four of us were in Vegas very, very drunk, and it was Hugo's idea. He was like, let's go get a tattoo. Like, yeah. So, you know, when you walk through for the pool party in the hotel, there's tattoo parlors there, which is brilliant business. Yeah. Great for business.
Hugo was like, let's get married. They're like, no, okay, let's get a tattoo.
Let's do something we're going to regret.
Yeah.
So what did you went in there?
So we went in there, and we'd had a few beers, and we were pretty lively, and he was like, oh, let's do something. Like, yeah, there's a crew of us here. It's a great crew.
It's crazy.
Some might say it's an elite crew.
Oh, no.
And we were like, yeah, it is. Fuck yeah, we're elite. We're an elite crew. And at the time, Twitter, as you know a lot about, Jay,
yeah,
was kind of the trend. So someone was like, well, hang on a sec. Let's not just put elite. Why don't we go #elite and put it on our backsides? And we were, and apparently we were like, yeah, great idea.
Genius.
So, and it's not. It's not small either.
It's not as I see Hugo before.
So there's Hugo.
Hugo's is not small. It's right on there, isn't it?
And
who else has
Hugo
it?
Hugo and Jordan have obviously got darker skin than me, so you know you can't really see it as much as you can see it on my pale white ass. So yeah, we've got #elite on our.
It's so funny with Hugo, man. When I first spoke to Hugo, he was literally like, he went, "You been to Vegas, mate?" And I went. And before I could answer, he went, 12 times me. and I went, sorry, what? Did you just answer your question to me? Yeah, 12 times. He loves Vegas.
Well done, mate.
Yeah, he loves Vegas.
Have you been to Vegas?
I've been to Vegas once, but I filmed out there, but I haven't actually done it properly. Is it fun?
We should do a podcast.
Danny, mate, we're fucking best mates now, boy. Right. Hey, Danny, listen. So, did you do a stag do when you got married? Did you do one of those?
I did. We went to Ibiza for my stag.
Did you? Fun?
Yeah, very, very fun.
Ah, oh, dude, see, there we go. I'm just thinking about stag dudes getting babies.
Thing, yeah.
This is it. Right, Danny, I would like to read you a little bit of my diary, if that's okay with you.
Please do.
Sit back, relax, and just chill out. Francis, you ready? Monday.
Monday, what was the date?
It's just, I'm reading the first one, I can't understand what I've written. Now,
do you actually do a diary?
Yeah. Have you done your diary?
Yeah, I've done mine.
Well, why don't you do your one? I always do my one. Yours will be funnier.
Will it?
Yeah, go on, you do your one. My one's not that funny this week. I just sort of make a joke, but it's not that funny. You do your one.
You make a joke? Don't beat yourself up. I'm sure it's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine's more like informative.
What, so you just tell people what's happening?
It's about the time capsule.
Okay, so well, Danny, here's Francis' diary.
Right, here we go.
Opening a time capsule from my first year of university has been a peculiar and unique experience. So many forgotten treasures and memories. So many things I'd clearly blanked from my memory.
Can you tell Danny quickly what happened in the last one?
Yeah, so basically I forgot a trunk at Edinburgh. Okay. For like
not an elephant's trunk. It's like
a proper trunk.
School trunk. With like from my first year of university, at the end of it, I left it in storage and I didn't go and pick it up for 12 years.
Wow.
And he opened it up. That's what I found out. Yeah. I don't know what is in it either.
A load of cash. Right?
No.
I reckon just a few bodies. I reckon he killed a few people and stuffed them in there.
No. So many things I clearly blanked from my memory, some for good reason. It has had quite an impact on me. Aside from the obvious journey down memory lane, it provides a revealing look back into the mind of the 20-year-old me. What an absolute gangster I was. I discovered all of my old diaries, which I had totally forgotten about, filled with poems, Polaroids of my first proper girlfriend.
Oh. Wow. You're a serial killer. You're a serial killer. That's what you are.
Well, my diary.
Polaroids of
sketches, songs. No, I mean, it was obviously that was at the time that we were going out, so it was obviously all in there.
So she knew she was
she was being photographed.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, I sent it to her because I thought it was funny. Sketches, songs, but most poignantly, my early explorations into the mechanics of a good joke. Reminded me how many hours I spent toiling away trying to write jokes in secret at school and university when I should have really been doing my work. I wrote a lot of what I would now classify as joke attempts, but I really didn't get it. This isn't false humility. I'll be the first to admit that most things come quite naturally to me, but for some reason the ability to craft a good joke of the standard of my comedy heroes had always frustratingly evaded me. I knew what I liked and the types of jokes that I wanted to write. I could never seem to figure it out.
Is this your memoirs? Is this your memoirs? This is we're listening to your memoirs.
Hey, I'm trying to get a book deal, right, guys? Come on. That's what I mean. It was just more like...
No, hey, man. Hey, continue.
It was like this unsolvable riddle. What I now know, with the benefit of years of... with a year of stage time under my belt, is that the missing piece of the puzzle was the feedback you get from an audience, which guides and sharpens your instincts.
Oh, that's very lovely.
Without this, you're basically trying to learn how to swim.
Learning how to swim.
Without this, you're just trying to learn how to swim.
Hey, Danny, have you ever tried stand up before?
No.
I think you should try and do it, mate.
I think it would be. I think it's the hardest job in the world.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, going to war.
Yeah.
Do you know, Danny? Do you know what is the hardest job in the world?
Please do.
Being a dad.
Yeah. No. Honestly. The
surely that's the easiest. You don't even need to do anything.
So tough.
It's tough, isn't it, buddy? Hey, Danny, man, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, dude, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It really means the absolute world, and you are 100% a hero of mine, even though I sound like a joke, you really are. Dude, listen, go and check out your podcast. Go and check that out. Follow you on Instagram, Danny Care, as well. You've been an absolute dream to have on today, and thank you.
It's been one of my favourite podcasts.
I freaking loved it. Honestly, I swear to God, yeah. it was just easy. We'd spoken for about an hour and a half. Danny, what we'd like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I love it. You just went, yep.
Francis.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, here we go.
You got this. Come on.
You got it, Danny. You got this. Go into your coaching zone.
Something
inspirational.
Oh, wow.
What do you wake up in the mirror, look in the mirror every morning and go, Danny Kerr, you say that. You say to yourself.
You're such a good family man. Be a good family man, guy.
You're such a good dad. God, you're a good dad.
Hashtag elite.
Yeah, hashtag elite. There we go.
No, what do you call it? Give us like inspirational. Go for it.
Oh,
what do you live by?
I definitely live by to not die wondering.
That's freaking...
You happy with that?
That's unbelievable. Let's get that tattooed on us.
I like to live by that. I've got Everything Happens for a Reason as well. My arm, that's another shit tattoo.
Have you seen that Peter
Pan? Because it really doesn't. When you look at the facts...
What was the reason that tattoo happened?
One arrest, I think.
Well, Badger, we liked having you on the show. Can't wait to find out what that means. Come on, Badger. Danny Kerr, thank you so much. We'll see you next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Woo! Cheers, boys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.